Hi, friends. I'm Pearson Cross. Welcome to Bayou to Beltway. Today, we are welcoming two distinguished members of the Lafayette Parish community, Ms. Joan Savoy, who is Lafayette Public Library Foundation president, and Mr. Andrew Duhon, who is a board member of the foundation and also a former member of the Lafayette Public Library Board of Control. They're here to talk about the tax renewal that's up for the November 13th election, and to tell us why we should care and what issues are at stake here. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So tell me what's your why don't we start with you, Joan. What's your role regarding the Lafayette Public Library? And I know you're a concerned citizen, but you're also someone who's involved. So introduce yourself a little bit, talk about your connection to the library, and then we'll do the same thing for Mr. Duhon.
Okay. Well, I am currently serving as the president of the Lafayette Public Library Foundation Board. And the foundation, for those who are not familiar with it, is a volunteer-run organization. And what we do is we supplement tax-based funding of the libraries. And the way we do that is by encouraging private donations and endowments. And those monies provide books and services and help to fund special programs and projects. So we're very much an advocacy organization. And our mission, in short, is to try to advocate for high-quality library services. And we believe that strengthens the community and actually is critical to this community and to every community.
That's good. Thank you. Okay, Mr. Duhon. Andrew?
Yes. I am, as you said, a board member of the foundation and also a former member of the Lafayette Parish Board of Control. That's the governing body that's appointed by the mayor and by the parish council. And so I served on that for 11 years, 2 years as chair. I'm also a CPA. I worked for Lafayette Utility System for 30 years and handled their financial functions and customer-facing functions. And so because I'm a CPA and have a lot of experience in governmental funding, and I'm very familiar with the challenges that the library has in terms of its funding, how it's funded, and you know, what's needed, and why this millage renewal is so important to the community. So that's my role.
All right, gotcha. Go ahead.
I'm retired. My hands.
Sorry?
I said, and being retired, I have time on my hands.
Ah, you have time, the crucial element, exactly. I wouldn't know what that's all about, but I hope to someday. So there's an election coming up. What's at stake in this election for the library?
Well, I think everything is at stake. It's this particular millage is critical to the community, and it's without this, the library is in danger of not being able to survive and provide all of the services that we've become accustomed to. So it's critical. It's something that we support very strongly, and we're hoping that people get out and vote to renew this millage. And I think the most important thing about this election is for people to know that this is a renewal. It is not a new tax. It's a renewal of an existing millage. So it won't involve any increases in taxes that people will be paying. It just maintains what already exists.
And a millage, as I understand it, is a property tax. So this is the people who pay property tax in Lafayette Parish would then, they're already paying this millage as part of their property tax. They just continue paying it. That's what you're saying?
That's correct.
Correct. And they just to add to what Joan's saying, Pearson, that the millage renewal, it generates about $4 million for the Lafayette Public Library System. Their total budget right now is about 12. So imagine losing $4 million of your $12 million budget. That's fully a third. And think about the severity of cutbacks and the loss of services that would have to occur if that millage did not get renewed. So that's a very important factor.
I'm surprised it's even up to question. I guess why do these come up for renewal? Is it a regular thing that they come up, or was that where they initially passed with the idea that they had to be reapproved by voters every so often?
Yes, that's the case. Every 10 years, these millages come up for renewal. This one did come up back in 2012. It was passed. It was first passed back in 2002, renewed in 2012, and now it's up for renewal for 2022, for implementation in 2022.
So in 2002, it was a new tax. Was it passed? Do you remember the origin? Was it passed in order to do something specifically, expand services, or to provide something previously there?
Yes, yes. No, this, you know, it's a great story, really. That the library back around 2000 was really in dire straits. It only had the main library. That was the only library that we had. It was only two stories, and the third story was pretty much used for almost like warehousing. So that's all we had. And they were having problems meeting their budget. I understand they were having problems like even paying their utility bill, and different organizations like the Foundation and Friends of the Library, another supporting group, had to come step in and help out. Well, these visionary people back then decided, look, we need to do something about our library system. And they put forward this plan to provide additional millages, additional property tax revenues, so that the community could build the system that we have today, which is now the main, fully constructed, all three floors are fully constructed, four regional libraries, east, west, north, and south, and several other smaller branches that are used for, you know, small communities that have sort of special circumstances, such as Doosan. There's one in Milton as well, a small branch. So all those were a result of the visionary people back then that made that decision to construct this library, fully construct this library system, and then operate and maintain it. So all those monies now that go to support this fabulous creation of these visionary people, all that money is needed to continue to support this library system. So
right now there are, I think, nine library locations total: Doosan, West, North, Main, Milton, South, Chenier, Butler, and East.
Right.
And so all of those are maintained, and that's actually quite a bit wider spread than prior to the passage of this millage. Is that correct?
Yes. You know, there's a map that the library administration has, and and it's been shown at public meetings and the like. And the map shows the point of each library, main and the regionals and the small branches, and it shows circles that surround those libraries to show what type of coverage we have throughout the entire parish, and we have excellent coverage now of all the areas. There's only one area, like the extreme southwest portion of the parish, that's not covered very well, but that's very, very sparsely populated. I'm talking about south of Doosan, you know, way out in the southwest part of the parish. But the rest of the parish is covered fairly well. There is some discussion about creating one more or constructing one more library, the Northeast Regional Library, because of, even though there's some coverage, when you look at that circled map, there are some natural barriers towards access to the libraries in that area. Those natural being I-10, I-49, and the Evangelist Thruway. So there's some discussion about building that branch. But this millage is definitely needed just to maintain what we have today.
And one of the things, too, Pearson, that people really need to know is that well-funded libraries increase property values. They increase property values. And they help to develop knowledge workers and create a strong workforce. So when we have strong libraries, it really benefits the entire community.
So let me just reintroduce you both in case you just tuned in. We are talking to Ms. Joan Savoy, who is the Foundation Board President for the Lafayette Public Library, and Andrew Duhon, who is a board member. So let's talk about benefits to the community. But there was a question I wanted to ask before we get there, and that had to do with coverage. So are there studies that show that, I noticed there are nine separate library locations, you're talking about maybe having one more, is being closer to the people really, does that make a difference for people as opposed to, say, having one main branch in downtown Lafayette? I mean, is there a difference in coverage and service and in terms of reach?
Yeah, I think it makes a big difference if it's accessible, especially if you consider the location in relation to public schools and also in relation to people who maybe have obstacles like transportation or just the actual geographic location of the branch. It needs to be easily accessible so that people can get there, particularly school children. But the libraries actually provide services to the entire community. It's not just kids. It's everyone benefits from the library. We have an average of over 2,700 visitors per day to our library. And the return on investment is tremendous, because for every dollar spent, the return is up to $9 to the community. So from that, you can see that it really is something that benefits everyone.
So you would say that in some sense, libraries are public investments in the public interest.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of my favorite quotes is from Walter Cronkite, for those people who are old enough to remember him. But what he said was, whatever the cost of our libraries, the price is cheap compared to that of an ignorant nation. Hmm. And we definitely want to educate all of our community members to make sure that they have access to everything that they need in order to build on a knowledge-based community.
Let's talk about services, if we can. So what kind of services do the libraries in Lafayette Parish provide? Can you kind of tell me what they do for people?
Well, we have a variety of different services. There are books, hardcover books, literal books. There are also e-books. There are the library cards for the public school children also are connected to their ID card for school. So that's something that's relatively new, where they can actually access the library using their school ID cards. We also have free Wi-Fi. We have computers. The internet usage is tremendous at our libraries. For the last year that we have information on, there were 386,000 people who came to the library to use computers and to access the Wi-Fi. And also one other thing I wanted to mention is the meeting rooms and the study rooms. We have meeting rooms that can be accessed by members of the community. There are also study rooms where students can go in a quiet environment and actually use that time to study.
If I could add to that also.
Sure.
I had an experience when I was on the Board of Control. I was walking into a meeting at South Regional one day, and I walked in with a couple that was a middle-aged couple, and I asked them, I said, well, what do you use this library for? And so they said, the man said, well, I work here. And so I said, what do you mean? And he says, well, I come and conduct my business here every day. So we have people that go to our libraries every day to use the computers, use meeting rooms, and to actually conduct their business. I could reiterate what Joan said about meeting rooms in particular, the usage of those meetings. You know, libraries are not just a place to check out books and audio and the like nowadays. There's places where the community meet and the community uses to congregate. And the usage of those meeting rooms is indicative of that.
Yeah, I'm thinking, with free Wi-Fi and of course internet usage, you think about all the storms that we have around here and people put out of their homes or in need of services, and it kind of acts as a community service in a lot of ways. You know, providing books for school children, providing internet for their parents.
Yeah, good point. Because and another thing, Kirsten, is that with the pandemic, number one, but then also with the recovery from all these disasters that we've had, people have lost jobs, and we have resume service and I'm not just talking about just software to develop resumes, but also they'll help you out with completing a resume. I'm talking about the library staff, and that's been done. It's been done frequently, and it's a valuable service to the community.
How many librarians or how many people are employed by the public library? Do you have an idea?
Yeah, sure. Joan, you want me to answer it?
No, go ahead.
Yeah, it's 160 or so staff members staffed. Because of some challenges with their budget, they're being very careful about filling vacant positions. But I'd say 150 to 160 personnel related costs for the library are fully 2/3 of their total budget. So,
That was my follow up because I know your total budget right now is around $12 million. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay.
Personnel related about $8 million, Pearson, I can elaborate on a few other costs if you'd like me to.
Sure, go ahead, because I think this is important because when people are listening and they're saying, okay, well, there's a library renewal tax, renewal millage on the ballot. What am I getting for my money? Please remind me. And so maybe we should remind people.
That's a great question. I mean, it's $8 million of personnel-related costs. I mean, just the utility costs for running our libraries is about $400,000 to $500,000 a year. The materials that are, and when I talk about materials, we're talking about checked out materials, books, audio, e-books, etc. $1 million just for materials. Just the database licensing fee for the library system is about $500,000. So, those are the bigger ticket items. You add them all up and you get a $12 million budget, right? If you look at it in a different way, let's say by branches, okay? It takes about $2.9 million to run the main library every year. It takes about $2 million to run South and close to $1 million for the other branches, $1 million for East, West, North. And then the smaller branches like Chenier, let's say about $200,000, and Doosan about $100,000. So, each one of them has a pretty good ticket. And so a loss of $4 million, think about if you mix and match all those expenses that I just said and try to come to, filling a $4 million hole in your budget. Wow, what do? Do you shut down, an entire branch? Do you stop all your material purchases? So there's some very difficult decisions that will need to be made if that millage is not passed.
Well, it certainly seems crucial to keep the current library footprint open. One would think that this is kind of a no-brainer, that people would say, well, of course we want to keep the library system functioning. But is your sense that people are not as pro-library as perhaps they used to be?
I think people are still pro-library. I think most people don't understand what it takes to run a library system and what it takes to be able to staff it and support all of the services that exist. So a part of what we're trying to do is to really just help to educate people on what it takes to maintain the level of service that we have currently.
Yeah, I think we feel pretty optimistic about the chances of this passing because it is just a renewal, but that the concern is that there is always, as an anti-tax sentiment, and people tend to just see the word tax and sometimes just reflexively just say no. So we can't let our guard down. We're basically trying to educate the community on what the benefits are and what what the consequences are of it not passing.
Yeah, this is taking place in a low turnout election. It's not the biggest thing on the ballot, but there's not that much on the ballot. There are 4 constitutional amendments, I guess, and a couple of other things. So for local government, this might be the big one. It's certainly one that I see people talking about. Now that we know where the $12 million goes, there's been some controversy in the past about the library having money and that money maybe being allocated for other things, other needs that the parish has, like drainage. Would you care to comment on that? I mean, does the library just have scads of money sitting around? You're painting a pretty dire picture here. I know that in the past some of those monies were reallocated.
Right. Well, and that's a great question. We did have at one time fund balance that exceeded $40 million. Now you'd say, wow, that's a big pot of money. Well, we did have purposes set aside for those. One being the Northeast Regional Library, some expansions to the North and the South Library. Both those expansions, by the way, mostly being additional meeting rooms, which is what was needed. So those sorts of things we're going to dip into that bucket. But we had some challenges to that size fund balance, and there was a ballot item back in 2019 that the voters passed to transfer $10 million of the fund balance from our library fund into $8 million to drainage and $2 million to recreation. In addition, we lost what should have been a routine renewal back in 2018. We lost that millage renewal, and we lost about $3 million from that at that point in time. So given all that and a few other financial issues, if you look in today's budget, the 2021 budget that the LCG passed recently, the library budget had beginning fund balance, and remember, that's kind of like your savings, right, of about $9 million. So down from $40 million back then to $9 million. And that right now the library is actually operating, because of the loss of that millage in particular in 2018, operating at a loss of about $1.3 million a year. That's in the budget. And that would mean that you're eating into that $9 million fund balance and reducing it to 7.7. Well, you say, what's going to happen the next year and the next year if you continue to operate at a loss? Well, it's just not sustainable. So there does need to be some focus, I think, on the library's financial condition. It's not as robust as it once was. The millage renewal that we're facing now is absolutely critical that we keep that money, but we also will need to in the future address these continuing financial challenges for the library system.
My question, I guess, so it looks like in 6 to 7 years the fund balance is going to be gone at current rates,
right.
Then something will have to happen even if this does get renewed. You know, I was going to say, in terms of meeting rooms, I know that the League of Women Voters meets in the rooms. Are those meeting rooms offered free of charge to every group that would like to meet?
Yes, they are. They are free of charge. And a lot of groups do have their monthly meetings there, and it's a great asset to the community, because so many groups, especially nonprofit groups, do not have physical space. So this allows them to be able to meet in a good environment, and we've got audiovisual support there and all of the things that they might need for their particular meetings.
I would imagine also that the public library serves as a kind of a triage center. So people come to you seeking services for things that they don't know about, and then they get referred by library staff to the services that they need. Is that true as well?
That's correct. That is correct. The librarians will try to help in whatever way they can. When someone comes to them and presents a question or a problem that they're trying to solve.
So it seems like this is a pretty crucial institution for a community. Now, let's go back to the economic development angle. So some people might say, oh, well, people don't need libraries anymore. I mean, we have the internet. We have everything you need at your fingertips through Wi-Fi or whatever. So why do we need the library? What would be your answer to that?
Well, one thing I would say is that the library also helps to close what's called the digital divide for people who maybe don't have access to the internet, who don't have access to Wi-Fi, and particularly for students who don't have that access. So it's an important service and function in our community.
I would argue also that the library is a hub to bring people into Lafayette. And when I say people, I mean people from outside the city, outside the parish. I know I have several friends and they argue that the library is the greatest loss leader for Lafayette, that, you know, even if it's operating at a loss, that it brings people into the community, not just to get that book at the library, but they stop at the cleaners. They go to the grocery store. They go to their doctor. They go to the health club. They do everything here in Lafayette, spending their dollars while they just intended to come and pick up a book, you know?
Right. So the loss leader thing you refer to is that technique whereby stores will offer something at cost or slightly below in order to get people in the front door. And then while they're there, they pick up other things. So in some sense, the library kind of is the one of the community's leading with these kind of services and taking it on faith that people will come here, and it's one of the things that draws people in.
Sure.
I want to talk a little bit, if we can, about something that Ms. Jones said, and that had to do with the differential access to Wi-Fi, to broadband, to services among people in the community. As we know, the schools in Lafayette are majority free or reduced lunch, and in fact as high as 70%, 80% in some areas. So we noted that during the pandemic turndown, closed down, there were lots of students who didn't have what they needed to continue their education. And certainly in cases like that, the library really serves an amazing purpose for those people who really don't have those resources.
That's correct. That's correct. And what the school system has said is that many of the children who were not able to attend physical classes, many of those were unable to connect to the internet because of lack of Wi-Fi and lack of internet connection. So it's very important for us to be able to have students who are excelling, and we know that in many cases, in some areas, the students are not doing as well. Pre-pandemic, we're not doing as well as they could have. So anything that interferes with them being able to access their educational opportunities makes it pushes them that much further back.
That's true.
So it's critical. It's critical that we get the libraries in a good financial position and that we get services to all of those who need those services.
That's right. Well, we've come to the end of our program. We've been talking today to Ms. Joan Savoy and Mr. Andrew Duhon, who are both members of the Foundation Board of the Lafayette Public Library. Thanks for joining us today. And remember, everyone, go out and vote on November 13th. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Bayou de Bellway is copyrighted by KRVS for the private use of its audience. Any other use of any portion of this program without written consent of KRVS is prohibited. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of KRVS, its officers, or members. To listen to a podcast of the interview we just heard, go to krvs.org. krvs.org.
Feel like your music is on hold? Tune in Thursday nights at 11 p.m. to The Minor Chord on KRVS. We'll talk about guitars, amp, synths, effects, and the musicians who use them. That's The Minor Chord on KRVS, Thursday nights at 11 p.m. We'll take you off of hold.
First built by enslaved Africans and their descendants, the banjo became the emblem of rural white America. How? Well, join me, Georges Collinet, as we uncover the black history of the banjo. Next time on Afropop Worldwide from PRX.
Sunday nights at 8 on KRVS.